Yeah, we are. And I almost have to, you know, it's like, not a have to, like, or don't tell my mama because I'll get in trouble because I'm sure. Not that have to. It's like water. It's like food. It's like when I'm not with you, it just, and sometimes I try, you know, like sometimes we have smaller groups and sometimes we have bigger ones. It just, I don't know, it's always perfect. It's always just right for the morning. I just think that is, God is so amazing like that. I don't want to keep looking at you, but I just feel like I'm so happy you're here.
Yay!
we needed it.
Yeah, I needed it. You know, be sponges this morning. Just be soak up. We've been hanging out with this thought of breaking this lie of insignificance, really, and which is really the basis of sin. That's all sin is, this lie that says we're disconnected. Everything about our journey with Jesus has been reconnecting, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that it's always been, there's never been any shut doors on his end, right? Usually the reason we don't reconnect is because we're, instead of doing this, we're pointed this way. We're running towards something else. We're hoping something else will connect with us. Will this take care of it? Will this satisfy this need? Will this cover this hurt? And all of a sudden we get this one touch. Thanks, Justin. You guys, he's...
You ran
him off. Oh. I love that kid. He's just so... Wow, he's just so tender to the Lord. But, because we don't talk about what to play in the mornings. He just kind of comes up and says, this is what's on my heart. And so, any case, last week, if you were here... For those who heard, now you're put on the spot, because there are just a few. We talked about... The first time God introduces this thought of what he calls the house of God, right? And I won't reteach it, but I think we record them so you can go listen to it. But he talks, and it's in Genesis, right? and he introduces remember Jacob? And he's lying down, he has the vision of the ladder into heaven. And he says, it comes with this revelation. This is the house of God. This is the gateway of heaven. So who remembers? It showed us some attributes of the house of God. Who remembers any of them? What does the house of God represent? Are the heavens closed?
Open heavens.
There we go. Open heavens.
Open.
What do we know about...
angelic activity.
Angelic activity. There we go. How about this? Okay. What do we know about his voice?
We hear it.
Present. It's active. It's present, right?
Yeah.
He called it the gate of heaven. Why did he call it? Why did he call it that?
Entrance.
Yeah. It's this transition. It's this gate of entrance between what? Two kingdoms. Two realities, right? And so we just had fun because we see this understanding of the house of God is just like all about us being in that gate, that we're straddling two worlds.
We are,
and we're like this conduit that's co-laboring with heaven, right? To just kind of usher in heaven's reality here, right? And anyway, that was fun. Can you put that on?
I'm not going to be preaching.
No, you won't. Okay, I won't be preaching. All right.
The boss is in the
house. I had this conversation with a guy this week, a good friend. And he preaches at another church in town. Not of what I would call our persuasion. Right?
Our flavor.
That's okay. Not our flavor. And that's okay. Everybody say, that's okay! That's okay! We bless the Presbyterian Church. We bless the Nazarene Church. We bless the Lutherans this morning. We bless the Catholic Church this morning.
Right.
We bless the Assemblies of God Church. We bless the Baptist churches this morning. They're on a journey discovering Jesus.
Amazing.
Right? They're on your journey.
That's all.
We're on the same journey. And the good thing is we get to feed each other. But anyway, I'm talking to this guy, and he's a pastor with lots of degrees. And which can be intimidating if you let it. And I used to be intimidated by that. So lots of degrees, which means he's smart, right? That's what we think. He's got all this data, right? And I was telling him, it's funny when you get people that don't necessarily agree with your journey, because they tend to have a more static set of rules. They tend to have they've discovered it. They've discovered it. They've discovered this is the path, and they tend to like many tend to like say, "Too bad you're not on this path," or it becomes the template for what's true.
Right.
And I said, "It's interesting." Sorry, I'm rabbit holes now, but that's okay. It's interesting that two people can look at the same verse. And one, you walk out of the room and you're like, "Oh, yes!" And somebody else walks out and goes, "Oh." I'm slightly exaggerating, but it's true.
No, it's true.
Mm-hmm. That it's like, wait a second, how did this verse here that brought me so much joy, so much life, all of a sudden, it looks like you're using it as a hammer, or you're tearing people apart with the same, how did that happen?
Right.
And so I had this conversation with this pastor, and I said, sometimes it's like, I feel like we have to strip back to this, the bare foundation, the very beginning points. What is this journey? What are we about? I call it our basis. He liked those kinds of words. I said, we have to go back. And I realize sometimes this preacher and this preacher have a different basis. They're found, they're the things that they build on, the things that they say the most important, these are the, right, the non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. And how you can have two preachers preach the exact same word, verbatim, mm-hmm. exact same scripture, and this community goes, "Wow, I want more." And this goes, these people go, "Oh, I feel so bad. I feel like I need to fix something." And I told him, I said, a lot of it is like, I said, my journey is discovering this with him.
Yeah.
It's like my basis is I'm in a connected relationship with him right now.
Right.
That's my starting point. I'm waking up to being his kid.
Yeah.
I'm waking up to this, man, I have been not a good son because I didn't see myself that way, but I'm learning what a son looks like. I'm starting to discover my identity, right? And I said, in others, it's, well, one day you might get there. It's one day this, you might close the gap. It's like one day, and I said, too many times people, it's, death is your savior. When I get to heaven,
right.
I close the gap. When I get to heaven, I'm good enough to be accepted, or I'm connected, right? So you can see when I say there's a difference in basis. I think for Luke back there, this is his starting point right now.
Right.
And we're pouring into this revelation of, wow, you're his kid.
Yeah.
And the same Holy Spirit's in you that's in Angel. Wow,
right.
That's exciting, right?
Yeah.
So we were talking about this verse, and I'll get to it for a second. You ever had this debate with yourself, and maybe it's a struggle in your journey with God? Why?
Oh, no, never.
Why? What's the purpose?
That was the point.
What's the purpose?
Right.
Or you sit here and go, I can't figure you out, right? I trusted you, I followed you, and then I got sick. What's up with that?
Right.
Right? Or I lost a loved one, or they took a death spiral, and what happened to that protection, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to go, wait a second, what's going on, right? And so we question, what's his will? What's his purpose? What's my assignment? I love this verse. This pastor friend of mine, we looked at it, it's like Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. So first off, let's put you in your right assignment here. What does he say about you? He calls you kings. He calls you kings and priests. So you have a royalty assignment, right? So first off, we need to make sure this is talking about you, mm-hmm. right? And we talked about, remember our bubble?
Mm-hmm.
Right, Becky, we talked about that. We said, here we go, we're going to start understanding this thought of what glory is. This thing that we're carrying as we're waking up to who we are in him and him in us, right? And so all of a sudden, kings, it's like, this. It's our glory, here's our bubble, our influence, this understanding of who we are in him, right? All of a sudden we go, it's my influence, my assignment, his presence in me. It's like now I'm realizing, wow, this journey's all about discovering this,
yep.
right? So when he says it's the glory of kings to search out a matter, we're uncovering, right, this assignment. We're waking up to this, our assignment, our mission, his purpose. One of the things that I had with, and we disagreed, but with great love, is I said so many times, I think, we think we're just pawns in God's big, great game. There's nothing I can do to influence or change what's happened. Like God's playing a game of chess upstairs, you're one of those board pieces, and you don't get a vote in the matter of getting moved here or moved here, right? And that when we think that way, that I'm just the tail on a dog, there's nothing I can do to change life. We live our life just accepting everything around us. We go, well, there's nothing I can do about it.
Right.
And then somebody talks to you about your assignment, talks to you about like what would, you know, God's asking you to change a circumstance, step into a circumstance, and we go, well, that's pretty arrogant. Because God's already got it concluded. He's already made up his mind here. And so I'm just a bystander watching, right? And so we tend to think, well, what is God saying today? Instead of like asking him, we're like in this perpetual waiting room. Well, if God wants to tell me, he'll tell me, right? Instead of, God, what is it? I'm going into Walmart. I'm walking across the parking lot. What do you want to do when I go in there? What do you want to do when I get in? God, do you have something for me to say? Is there somebody you want to highlight? I've got a pony in my pocket. What do you want to do with it, God? Right? And we live with this expectation that he's going to show me something. And I want to connect this with this thought of this open heaven that we had last week. So maybe these are just some building blocks we're going to put around this picture, and then we'll get back to that maybe next week. But it's like, because I really want to change the way that we're thinking about how we're getting our assignments and that we're getting answers from heaven, right? In the kingdom, things are hidden to be found, right? They're not hidden to tease you. They're not hidden to frustrate you.
Right.
Right? Do you know that in Matthew, hey, darling, hand me my iPad. It'll be quicker than me flipping. In Matthew 13, yeah, I'll do it this way. Unlock it. You guys ever, I love digital Bibles, by the way. One of my favorite is, if you don't know it, it's called Blue Letter Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And in the Blue Letter Bible, you can look across multiple translations very quickly. You can look at how different translations look at different verses. It ties into a very smooth interlinear, so you could go back in and dig into the Greek and the Hebrew. You know, Angel's like, he probably does this stuff at a second
learning. He has it all memorized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I what's that?
What is it, Matthew 13?
Oh, sorry. Yes, sorry. Matt, so, do you remember this? Here, I'll get this right. When Jesus says, he's talking to them about the scat, about seed, and some seed falls here, and some seed falls here. And one of the things he does is he's they're sitting here listening to him explain this, and they're like,
what's he talking about?
What are you talking about, right? And Jesus says, he says in verse 11, he says, it's been given to you. It's been given to you to know these mysteries, right? In other words, there's this thing inside you that was created to know this truth, right? And so you have to ask yourself, wait a second, he's got something for me. Why wasn't it just set in my lap? Why didn't he just say, okay, Danny, blah, here's the answer. Why? How about you help me out? Why would God, in quotes, hide something from you and then extend an invitation for you to search it out? Why would he do that?
Because he wants you to find it.
That's a good. He liked that. He wants you to find it. How about, what else?
He
wants you to look for it.
I think.
Why? Why would he want you to look for it?
Spending time.
Oh, I like that.
It's an investment.
Oh, who said that? I just heard the word relationship. Somebody else. What?
He wants you to question.
Why, Don?
It's been that way my entire life. He wants you to question and seek. That's why we build telescopes to look at the heavens.
For me, when I ask questions, it's like one question always creates another question. Mm-hmm. Always creates another question. Mm-hmm. And here's what happens, you know, inside of me. Oh, that's cool. Well, wait a minute. What about? Right? And now I'm starting to get this. And then as I pile on to my question, expanding questions, now he's showing me, oh, I never saw that before.
Spiritual dialogue.
Yeah.
The journey of discovery.
Oh, I like that. Journey of discovery.
It's all about relationship, like Shelley said. That's the same with your marriages. Same with the more that you're like,
invested in them.
Like, not just deciding, I know everything about them.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that is perfect.
And then you just start to devalue them, like, oh yeah, they're just like that.
So something's happening in this journey of asking the questions and connecting and searching.
That's
deepening your connection. Mm-hmm. You're starting to get maybe an essence of like, wow, I think that's what this is about.
What was Dar going to say?
What's that?
Dar,
it's a little bit different than
I want to hear it.
Like sometimes it's waiting for you to maybe a maturity in your life to be able to sustain what he's revealing.
Ooh,
that's cool. So in fact,
like you wouldn't give the car keys to Luke. It's not that that's bad, and he will one day like be able to contain that and be a blessing with it, and
come
as
on.
A king. Your to provide for those around you.
That's
so,
actually a picture of, you know, when you were given the promised land, one of the things he tells them is, one of the reasons he didn't just say, it's all yours, go! And it was like, there was struggle, there was conflict. Some of them were almost removed from the story in the thing, but it's like incrementally he gave them the land because I think it's like, this is too much for you to carry. This is too much for you to put your hands around, right? But it's that thing of maturing into your assignment. Go ahead.
I was just saying, you know, my thinking is when you said it, it was like, it's expectation like Easter eggs.
Oh!
It's like, you know they're there somewhere. It's like, and your expectation is, I need to go find these things. God has put those things.
Isn't that a great picture?
Every day is an Easter egg.
So it's like one of delight, huh?
Yes.
And the eggs on their own.
Okay, that's cool. That one's really, that is so cool.
That's more valuable, you hide more.
Mm. I just.
Ooh, that's good, Emily.
One of those.
Throw all the cheap candy out there, but the ones with the $5 bills.
Oh gosh.
Those things put together, you also see how big God is and how how just even the little things matter.
I love that. I love that.
Why would God think of that? You know, why would he care about that? But he does.
But he does.
All the little pebbles and all the little
delight.
Yeah, everything.
That's really good. Buried it. That is so fun. I like the Easter eggs. It's like, in my conversation with this other pastor, it's like, and I've told you this in my story, maybe I'll say it this way so I can, I don't want to do it the other way. It's like, I was convinced when I went to college, I knew everything. I knew everything about God. I'm not joking. I'm not using that flippantly when I say I got it. I had gone to church since I was a baby, and my parents had me in everything. So you were in Sunday school, we were in training union. If there was a revival, we were in revival. We had the devotions every morning. We had the little cards
daily
on our
bread.
Daily bread cards on our dining room table. And and remember when Trivial Pursuit came out and they had Christian Trivial Pursuit?
The Bible Trivial
Pursuit. Bible, that's what it was, Bible Pursuit. Yeah. You wanted me on YouTube.
You wanted me.
Because I had answers. I had all the answers. Because they were all data questions. How many kings? How many this? How many of that? What year this? What name of this? And they're just names, they're just data. And this is what was in my conversation with my pastor friend. It's like, with this thing about basis, there's data. I have all these technical answers. And then there's the ones that you all were feeding into, this relational discovery of who he is and who I am in this story. This your glory picture is this picture. When he says you have a glory, it's because you're coming to that revelation of what Jesus said before he goes to the cross, when he says, Father, that they would just know that you love them like you love me. Oh, that they would know that you're in them just as much as you're in me and I'm in you. Yeah. Right? And so that's our basis. And so now when we discover mystery, when we ask, Father, what's your heart? What's your desire? What's your plan? We realize it's all, okay, this will get me shot on tape. I was going to say it's all irrelevant aside from the relationship. That probably says it wrong, but you'll hopefully maybe you can get my heart in it, which is like, if we remove, he must be our pursuit in all things.
Right. Yes.
As you're asking your questions, as you're wondering the mystery, as you're questioning the assignment, it's like all of it comes into context when we do it in this intimate place with him.
Right.
All those discoveries come out of intimacy.
Right.
Right. I tell people when you read the Bible, I always say, put on your Jesus glasses. Right? And you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. In the Old Testament, he's not here yet. It's like, telling you, put on your Jesus glasses. Interpret, when you're trying to understand what's going on with the heroes of our faith, their journeys, put on your Jesus glasses. Because if Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father, if everything about him is he gets the Father's heart, right? And it wasn't until Jesus that we had that understanding, then you realize these guys in their journey are still waking up to, they're doing life without that understanding, for the most part. Some had, how could you possibly do that without Jesus?
Yeah.
It's like, anyway, he's the object of our pursuit.
Right.
He's the one who's whispering in your ear. He's the one who's sharing the secret with you. He's the one who's giving that assignment. He's the one that's putting that tug on your heart. He's the one that's like dropped a picture into your in worship this morning. He's the one who gave you that thought or that word as you're praying for somebody.
than Luke. Oh, dear Danny. Do you remember when he sent, it says he sent out the 70, right? And they talked about the harvest is great, the laborers are few. It's in Luke chapter 10. And then something happens. They go out, and when it says when this, later on in Luke 10, it says when the 70 returned, they came back with this joy. They came back when, and all of a sudden, like, it's like all of a sudden something woke up inside of them. All of a sudden, that thing that made, these are the same guys, by the way, that were part of the "what are you talking about" crowd.
Right.
They're the same ones that are, can you just say it? If you're just trying to tell us something, just say it.
Yeah.
And it says that when they come out, when they come back from being sent out, they're filled with joy. And they're like, they said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And that's when Jesus tells them, and he starts pouring into their discovery. He starts pouring into this wakening up to their assignment, to their mission. They're starting to, they've asked questions, they're pondering, they're starting to like, what does it look like to walk, co-labor with him? What does it look like to walk with him inside of me? And he tells me, "I've given you authority to trample on serpents," verse 19, "and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." Verse 21, he says, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. All," verse 22, "all things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." He's having the conversation we just had about discovering him in the context of relationship, about asking your questions about purpose and mission and why. All, it's like all with him in the room. It make your pursuit about your questions like with him. And so Jesus is like, it's not the theologians that are getting it. It's the ones that are like hungry for intimacy, the ones connecting with me relationally. And then he tells this to the disciples in verse 23. He turned to his disciples and he said, I find it interesting. He says privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." So pause just a second. And we think of, get your head, Old Testament. And we start thinking of some of, let's call them our heroes. Moses, David, Abraham, Gideon, Daniel, right? And we could build a big list, right? And yet Jesus says, "You guys here that are wanting to like connect with me and discover me and walk with me inside of you into Walmart and Starbucks, you guys, you're going to see greater. You're going to do greater. You're going to more than all those heroes that you talked about."
Yeah.
Right? What is it that those, what did they see? Why would he say that the experiences of the kings and prophets of old longed to see something that was happening with the disciples? Mm-hmm. What was it? What was the thing Jesus is highlighting here that they're experiencing, that all these heroes that we all just mentioned, that they're longing for? Those guys, those heroes were hoping for. Those heroes were wondering one day, and yet these guys are experiencing it. What was it?
Holy Spirit.
You know,
yeah.
Screw. You know, the simple answer, you could say, well, they were Jesus. Mm-hmm. I would say yes, but it's
the promises.
Okay, say more.
They, God revealed promises to them, but they longed to see those promises.
Mm-hmm.
They always were searching for them, waiting for them.
Yeah, they're. I love how he calls them babes. It's like they're, my kids are waking up. My kids are starting to see themselves, who they really are. My kids are realizing they're connected to me.
Yeah.
My kids are realizing they have authority.
Yeah.
My kids are realizing they can write checks on heaven's account.
Oh, so good.
Right? My kids are waking up. My kids are realizing they're not orphans, they're connected. Right? My kids are realizing they're not walking as servants, they're walking as the king's sons. Right? My kids are realizing they have words that lead and have power and have authority in them. My kids are waking up to this knowing who they are in heaven's reality. My kids are know that they live on the edge of two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where they're this transition from heaven's reality. That my kids know they're conduits,
right?
For that heaven is invading now through them, right? That's our forefathers, the ones we read about in the Old Testament, didn't know that. Jacob got a glimpse of it on when he saw the heavens open and he saw the ladders and he's starting to realize, what the heck is this? Right? They're getting, David got a glimpse of a father's heart. Right? So they're getting insight, but there's something that happens in the heart of the kid that wakes up. There's something that happens in his heart when he starts to realize, I don't have two natures, I got one.
Yeah. Right.
They start to realize that this old man thinking, this lying, disconnected, insignificant thinking isn't a part of my nature, right? His kids are waking up to, I'm connected, right? That lie of insignificance, that lie of separation, that it's not there anymore, right? And so the forefathers are like, they're getting this taste, they're getting this insight, they're getting this look of, wow, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, they had insight into the future. They had something that said that's a
right.
coming thing. But the reality of it is like this enjoying his presence here, this intimacy here, this encounter with him here, right? Like is our normal life. It's our
right.
This is our is that normal is. Christian life. This is us,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we're waking up to like, okay, Holy Spirit, if that's normal, where you reveal your mysteries, you show me your assignments, you're knocking the dust off of my, I haven't been thinking of myself right. I haven't been seeing myself as kingly. I haven't been seeing myself as son or daughter. Right? That's getting polished, it's getting dusted off, and in our journey, we're waking up to that. And so we start asking Holy Spirit, God, help me walk in this new covenant, this new reality, this new assurance, right, in Jesus' name, right? So that's our basis. This is a long way around the mountain of enjoying my conversation with my friend that says, life looks different when we talk about scripture, when we talk about Jesus in the context of this,
right?
That he loves to excite his kids, you know? So put this thought in your head, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to jump on that next week. It connects with this, okay? And also, ponder this week this word kavah, this waiting word. Maybe go into your blue letter Bible or look up the words waiting on him. Look at, just see what he might say to you. I would love to hear what maybe he says to you about what does it look like to wait on him, because he's not doing it to exhaust you. He's not doing it to frustrate you.
Right.
He enjoys the encounter. He likes when his kids climb up on the bed with him. Right?
Right.
He likes it when they like snuggle with him. He likes when they come close to him.
Yeah.
Right? So Father, this week, we say, Holy Spirit, we just invite you into our homes, into our bedrooms, into our quiet places, into our cars, into our workplaces. God, it's with expectation that we ask for your voice. We ask for your word. We ask for that picture. God, we ask for our assignment. We ask for the encounter. We ask for the more. God, and we walk as your kids. We're kings. God, we walk as your kids into the room with you. We just say thanks for loving us. Amen.
Amen.